Hello and welcome to the Shetland Resolve Camcast. I'm Diane Taylor and I'm glad that you're here. I want to start this month with a question that on the surface sounds light, but really isn't. And that is, who are you on your day off? I don't mean, what do you do on your day off? Most of us can answer that. I mean, who are you when nothing is being asked of you? When nobody needs the capable version, or the organised version, or the cheerful version. When the day is quiet and there's nothing to be held together. Because here's what I've noticed in myself and in so many of the people that I work with. For a lot of us, that question is surprisingly hard to answer. And the day itself can be surprisingly hard to have. You know the one that I mean. The Sunday afternoon when everything is actually done, nobody needs anything, there is no crisis, no list, there's nothing on fire. And instead of feeling lovely, it feels kind of odd, maybe restless, even a bit itchy. And within about 20 minutes, you've managed to find yourself a job. Maybe you're texting somebody to check that they're okay. You've decided that today, of all days, is the day that the kitchen drawer finally needs sorting. And of course the drawer is fine. It's been fine for years. It's just that you've invented something to be responsible for in that quiet moment. And if any of that sounds familiar, then this episode is definitely for you. There's a moment I hear about often in my work, and I'd be curious whether you recognise it. Somebody says to you with real warmth, "Oh, you're so strong. I honestly don't know how you do it." And it's kind. It's meant well. And it might even be true. But somewhere underneath, it still lands strangely. There's a peery, small, quiet pair to you that hears it and feels, of all things, maybe a peery bit lonely. Because what we're admiring here is the coping. And you find yourself wondering, though you'd probably never say it out loud, whether anybody can see past that. Whether there's anybody in your life who would notice if you weren't okay, or whether you've become so convincing that the question nae langer occurs to people. That's the strange thing about coping. It collects wonderful references. If you're the reliable one, the strong one, the person who holds it all together, the world has been applauding you for years for doing that. You've been thanked for it, admired for it, relied upon because of it. Coping is possibly the most well-reviewed thing you do, which is exactly why it's so hard to see. Nobody ever sits you down and says, "I'm a bit worried about how good you've become at managing." The things that concern us about ourselves tend to be the things that go wrong. Coping doesn't go wrong. Coping goes right over and over for years. It works so well that it stops feeling like something you do and starts feeling like who you are. And that's the idea at the heart of this episode. At first, coping is something we do. And over time, it can begin to feel like personality. Let me say a bit about collies, working sheepdogs, because anybody that's spent time around them will know exactly where I'm going with this. A good working collie is a marvel. Focused, tireless, reading the field before the sheep have decided what they're doing. Bred and trained for it over generations, it's genuinely beautiful to watch. But here's the thing about a working collie on its day off. Yeah, there really isn't a day off. Take that dog into a house and it'll try and herd the cat or herd the bairns, the children. I even had a collie that used to come out with me and the horses, and instead of just accompanying us out on a ride, the dog would continually try to herd us. And nobody asked it to do that. There was no sheep, but the work was so deep in the dog that it stopped being work and became, for want of a better word, character. And we smile at that in a dog and we say, well, that's just collies for you. And then some of us go home and herd our own households. We scan every room we walk into for what might be needed. We read moods the way that the dog reads a field. We're gathering and managing and keeping everything moving in the right direction, long after anybody asked us to, on days when there are no sheep at all. And of course the collie isn't broken, and neither are you. That's a skill refined over years because it was needed. The only question worth asking, and it's a gentle one, is whether the herding still gets to switch off, or whether it's running on the quiet days too, when the field is actually empty. I worked with somebody years ago, and I'm changing the details here. And they organised everything for their extended family. Every birthday, every gathering, every crisis. And they were brilliant at it. And mostly, they enjoyed it. What brought them to me was actually their own birthday. Their family arranged a surprise for them, and they spent the whole evening quietly helping at their own party, topping up other people's drinks, checking everybody was okay. And they said to me afterwards, I realised that I don't actually know how to be looked after. I only know how to be the one doing the looking after. And that was a really important insight. That's what it can look like when a role has been running for long enough. It's not that they were pretending all of those years. The care they gave was very real. But somewhere along the way, giving became the only seat at the table they knew how to sit in. Or maybe think about holidays for a moment. This is the one I recognise most in myself, so let me go first here. I've realised that it takes me a while to arrive on holiday. My body gets there on day one, but I've realised that the rest of me follows, probably 2, even 3 days later. In the meantime, a pair to me is still scanning, still half organising, still mentally checking on things that are managing perfectly well without me. What's changed in recent years isn't the pattern, it's that I've started noticing it. And rather than telling myself off for no switching off, I've found myself saying something a bit kinder. Like it's okay that I've no quite settled into this holiday yet. And it makes sense because, like many people, I have a busy life. I've chosen it, and I do carry a lot of responsibility. So, of course, it takes a period while for all of that to quiet and down. And many people describe something similar. Some get ill the moment they stop. Just like clockwork, the first day of every holiday. Others maybe lie by a pool and find themselves feeling strangely flat, wondering why they can't relax, the way everybody else seems to. Coping that's been running at full stretch doesn't have an off switch, because nobody ever needed it to have one. It takes a few days for the machinery of the mind to wind down. And sometimes, in the quiet that follows, there's an unexpected wobble. A feeling of, I'm no entirely sure who I am when I'm no being useful and productive. And nothing is wrong with you when that happens. In fact, that wobble may be worth listening to. Here's what interests me most about all of this. And it's what I would like to leave the thinking part of this episode. We tend to assume that the way we are on our busiest, most demanding days is the real us, and the person who surfaces in the quiet moments is some sort of anomaly. The restlessness on the empty Sunday, the flatness by the pool on the holiday, the loneliness inside the compliment I mentioned earlier. But what if it's worth being curious about that the other way around? What if those quiet, slightly uncomfortable moments aren't a malfunction, but a glimpse? Not though a hidden true self waiting to be discovered, I'm very wary of that idea, because it in itself can create its own pressure. Maybe more that it's a glimpse of the fact that the roles, however well you play them, might not be the whole story. That there might be preferences and responses and parts of your experience that haven't had much room. Not because they're missing, but because life has kept the coping so busy that nothing else has had a turn. And you don't need to do anything with that this week, truly. Maybe just notice, once or twice, what happens in you when nothing is being asked of you. Whether the herding shows up on its own, whether stillness feels restful or slightly unfamiliar, even uncomfortable. That's it. Noticing is plenty. If today's conversation has left you recognising something in yourself, there's more of it waiting for you. I've written about this on the blog. about the feeling that so many people describe as, I feel like I've lost myself, and why it may not mean what it seems to mean. And you'll find that on my website at shetlandresolve.co.uk. If you'd like to experience the idea rather than just think about it, this month's hypnotherapy audio, I Feel Like I've Lost Myself, invites all of that hard work and coping to rest for a period while, the way even the most dedicated collie can lie down by the fire. So there's enough quiet for more of yourself to become noticeable again. And if these are the conversations you'd like to keep having month by month, that's why the Calm Collective exists. It's my membership, and this month we gently explore how these roles may have developed in your own life, getting to know who you are beneath the coping. You'd be very welcome to join us. So this month's thought to carry with you: coping is something you learned to do. It was intelligent, it was needed, and it worked. But at first, coping is something we do, and over time it can begin to feel like who we are. And the person who shows up on the quiet days, restless or uncertain or oddly flat, isn't it evidence that something's wrong? It might be the first sign that there's more of you than the roles that you've become so good at playing. Who are you on your day off? You don't need to know yet. Becoming curious about that question is enough. If this episode resonated, I'd love you to share it with somebody who came to mind while you were listening. And if you enjoy the Calmcast, subscribing and leaving a review genuinely helps other people find these conversations. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. As always, go peri-wise, go gently.